Well, in the last month, I have had three long conversations with three different people, but all about exactly the same thing. How can Christianity claim that the only way to God is through faith in Jesus? It seems so exclusive, so arrogant, so unfair. What about the good Muslim? What about the devout Jew? Perhaps they've never even heard of the claims of Jesus. Well, Romans chapters 9 to 11 that we're covering today, they give us something of a response to that kind of understandable question and concern. And the first thing that we discover is this, that everyone needs to trust in Jesus. At the end of Romans chapter 9, what we find is Paul describing, if you like, he's describing the difference between a ladder and a rescue ring. Judaism, he says, and any other religion, Judaism is all about climbing up the ladder of good works, climbing up to God by our good works. Christianity, however, he says, is all about the need for faith in Jesus. Just cling to him. Trust him. Jesus is the rescue ring, as it were. Hold on to him and you'll be pulled up to God. And Paul is saying that the crucial problem for most Jews in his day is that they were continuing to choose the ladder rather than the rescue ring. Now that's chapter 9, verse 32. If you have a look at top of right at the top of page 1137, verse 32. Why not, says Paul. Why were so many Jews not right with God? Here's Paul's answer, verse 32. Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. So they were trying to get right with God by climbing that ladder of good works, rather than clinging on to Jesus, the rescuer. But that's not all, says Paul. Look at how verse 32 continues. Look at what he says. He says, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, it's interesting there that this stone, it's referred to not as an it, but actually that stone, in verse 33 there, it's referred to as a him. Because this stone is Jesus. So perhaps actually my diagram up there, it's not entirely right. Because Jesus, he should be pictured not as a rescue ring, but as a stone. So here's the situation. We all want to get up to God, and there are two options. If we insist on climbing the ladder to God, well, Jesus will be a stumbling stone to us. He will, as it were, just knock us off the ladder. Now, apologies about the rather poor graphics, but you get the point. He will be a stumbling stone to us. But if instead, if we cling on to Jesus the stone, then Jesus, he will be a firm foundation for us, and he will cause us never to be put to shame. We'll be pulled up to safety by God. That is how to get right with him. So as you look at that diagram, it seems a no-brainer. It seems so clear from the picture. The sensible option is to trust in Jesus, the stone, cling to him. And yet, so many people, back when Paul was writing, and today, so many people keep trying to climb up the ladder of good works to God. Now, why is that? Why do people keep on trying to climb up that ladder? I think above all, it's because of our pride. That we want to be able to climb the ladder because then we feel we have done something. We feel that we have earned our salvation. But the truth is, we have to admit that we're supposed to be removing our pride. We have to humble ourselves. We have to admit that we can't save ourselves. And that is the case for absolutely everyone. No exception, says Paul. He says everyone needs to trust in Jesus to be saved. I mean, if there were going to be any exceptions, I guess we would think Well, it would probably be the devout Jew. I mean, after all, Paul was a Jew. The Jews were God's chosen people, and Paul loved his fellow Jews. Just look at chapter 10, verse 1, and what he says. He says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." Paul loved his countrymen and women. And there's no doubt that many of the Jews were devout and moral and sincere. Just look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God." But Paul says that being a devout Jew doesn't make someone right with God. Just look at verse 3, would you? Verse 3, he says, "Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." So yes, they were trying to get right with God, says Paul. But they were trying the wrong way. They were trying to climb that ladder rather than clinging to Jesus, the stone. So here's the deal. When we say, well, surely that the good Muslim, or surely the devout Jew, or surely the moral agnostic, surely they'll be okay in God's sight. When we say that, Paul seems to be saying something different. He says that even a zealous, sincere, devout Jewish person cannot get right with God unless they trust in Jesus. Now that sounds outrageous to many modern ears. It sounds arrogant. It sounds bigoted. But that is what Paul is saying here. And actually, it is just what Jesus himself said too. Do you remember one of Jesus' most famous encounters with Nicodemus? Nicodemus, he was Israel's head teacher. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. If ever there was someone who was going to be accepted by God on religious or moral grounds, it was going to be Nicodemus. But do you remember Jesus' very first words to Nicodemus? "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." No one. Even to a man like Nicodemus, Jesus says you cannot be right with God unless you are completely remade, born again. And as that discussion, as it continues in John chapter 3, we see that what Jesus is meaning is that Nicodemus needs to trust in him, in Jesus. Jesus says to Nicodemus, it's John 3 verse 15, he says that it is everyone who believes in him, in Jesus, that has eternal life. So what we're seeing is that Jesus, Paul, the testimony of the whole Bible is that everyone, no exceptions, everyone needs to trust in Jesus to be saved. Now if that is true, if it is true, then you've got to agree that it does make Christianity 100% relevant to everyone, if it's true. Second, we see here not just that everyone needs to trust in Jesus, but secondly, we see that anyone can trust in Jesus. Anyone can trust in Jesus. Now we all know at the moment, don't we, about the sort of the mortgage situation in the last few months. We thought that it was so easy to get a mortgage, but that's no longer the case, is it? I was looking up, 721 mortgage offers have been withdrawn in the last 2 weeks. All the banks and the building societies, they're hiking the minimum deposits you need to get a mortgage. The plug has pretty much been completely pulled on all buy-to-let mortgages. What we thought was totally accessible is actually very inaccessible. But is that how it is with Jesus? Is it the case that to be a Christian, you actually have to be a very special sort of person? Sorry, Jesus isn't accessible to you. You're not good enough. Sorry, Jesus is not accessible to you. You were born in the wrong country. Sorry, Jesus is not accessible to you. You've got a tongue stud and you don't like organ music. Is that the deal? Is that what it's about? Well, look at verse 6, would you? Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this, "But the righteousness that is by faith," that is faith in Jesus, "says, Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. See, those verses, they're telling us that Jesus is easily accessible. That Jesus has come down, that he has died for us, and that he has risen again. We don't have to go anywhere or do anything. Jesus is easily accessible. I mean, verse 9 tells it us straight. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as easy as that. Inward belief, outward profession. Trusting personally and publicly in Jesus Christ. It's not impossible to become a Christian. It's easy. Jesus is easily accessible. And Jesus is equally accessible to us all as well. He is equally accessible. Just have a look at the next verse, would you? Verse 11. It says there, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, totally accessible. Maybe even today, someone here wants to call on that accessible Jesus and be saved. But if you're like me, as you've been sort of thinking through that process, you might be asking this question. I wonder what question's in your mind at the moment, but this is the question that's in my mind when we get to this point. My question is this. What about the person who has never, ever heard of Jesus? What about that person? How can Jesus be accessible to them? They haven't even heard about him. I think it's a good question. In fact, if there was one question I could ask God, this would be my question. What about people who have never, ever heard of Jesus? Let me mention three things to bear in mind in trying to answer this question. Firstly, let's recognize that it is less of an issue now than it ever has been in the past. Because nowadays, due to missionary work, due to increasing global interconnectivity, there are far less people now that have never heard of Jesus than at any time in the past. Secondly, I think we need to trust that God is totally just. As Abraham said, Genesis 18 verse 25, Abraham said this, he said, will not the judge of all the earth do right? So we can trust that God will judge justly for the person who has never ever heard about Jesus. But then thirdly, when we think on that, we have to realize that for all of us, including the person who has never ever heard of Jesus, if God is judging justly, if God is judging justly, our natural position before God is one of being under condemnation. We saw that in the first three chapters of Romans. Naturally, we are condemned. None of us actually deserve heaven. If God were merely just, none of us would be in heaven. None of us would be saved. It is only because of God's mercy that anyone is saved. So with those thoughts in mind, what is the answer? What about the person who has never, ever heard about Jesus? The best answer that I've heard is by the Christian author Michael Green. I'm going to quote him at some length now. It's going to be up on the screen so you can see it. This is what Michael Green says. He says this. He says, the mighty death and resurrection of Jesus are situated at the midpoint of time so far as God is concerned. Their shadow, the shadow of the cross and resurrection, their shadow is cast both forward and back. So it may well be that God will accept those who have never heard of Jesus if they are like Abraham and David, who had never heard of Jesus but trusted themselves entirely not to their religious views or virtues, but to God's mercy alone. Such people may well be saved not because of their religion, but because of what Christ has done for us all. This view has much to commend it. It shows that God is consistent in how he treats humankind down the ages. It shows the seriousness of evil. It shows that we cannot save ourselves, but are perishing without a Saviour. It shows that Jesus is the one and only Saviour we sinners need, whatever our race and religion. It shows that God is scrupulously fair. At the same time, it does not make the false assumption that people of other faiths are fine just as they are, that they do not need the gospel, or that they are saved by the profession of their own religion. That's a long quote, but I think that is quite a helpful answer to this critical question of what about people who have never ever heard about Jesus? Saying there that some of these people, that they may be saved if they have trusted themselves not to their religious views and virtues, that they're not trying to climb that ladder to God, but if they've trusted themselves to God's mercy alone. That they're clinging, as it were, to Jesus the stone, even though they don't know this person Jesus and that he died on a cross for them. If that's the case, for some people, maybe, I'm not certain about it, but maybe some people who have never ever heard of Jesus may be saved. But let's be clear. I doubt that this issue is relevant for more than a handful of people in the UK. And it is certainly not relevant to any one of us here, because we have heard of Jesus. And let's be clear too, in no way by saying this does it mean that the Christian can sort of sit back and do nothing about telling others about Jesus. In no way does it mean that we should not tell people of other faiths about Jesus. We should. Lovingly, of course. Courteously, of course. But clearly too. Why? Well, just look at what Paul writes in the next two verses. Verses 14 and 15, top of the page. Look at verses 14 and 15. He said there, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So in the final two or three minutes, let's see our final point from these verses. We've seen that everyone needs to trust in Jesus. We've seen that anyone can trust in Jesus. And then thirdly, we see here that people need to hear to trust in Jesus. People need to hear. So verse 15, if we're a Christian, we need to be people with beautiful feet. We need to be people bringing the good news of Jesus wherever we are. So if you're a Christian, can I ask you just now, just think of your colleagues. Maybe picture in your mind the person that you're going to be sitting next to this afternoon. Just picture them in your mind. And then look at the second sentence of verse 14. It says there, and how can they, your colleagues sitting in the desk next to you, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? If that strikes at your heart, if you know that there are people that you work alongside who haven't yet heard the good news about Jesus, please would you take on this challenge? What are you going to do to enable them to hear? Who at work can you speak with about Jesus? Who at work can you invite to this lunchtime service? Let me finish by telling you about a time when I was the best man at a good friend of mine's wedding. Now, as you know, best man speeches, they're renowned for their humour, for their entertainment, for dishing the dirt on the bridegroom. And I was hoping that my best man speech, that it was going to be up there with the best of them. So it was a little bit embarrassing. Halfway through the best man's speech, in the middle of the best man's speech, I started to cry. I mean, normally on a wedding day, you know, that the bride, that she sheds a few tears, but generally not the best man. But that's what happened. As I was giving this speech, in the middle of the speech, I started to cry. Now, why did I cry? Well, let me just, I dug it out. Let me just read you the bit of the speech that I gave when I started to cry. And I'll hopefully, 7 years on, not cry again. But let me just read you. This is what I said, okay? I said this. The second reason I am indebted to Andy, my friend, the bridegroom, is that Andy introduced me to Jesus Christ. When Andy was 16, he became a Christian, asking Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. About a year later, Andy asked me if I wanted to come with him on a 3-day conference for people to investigate Christianity. I really didn't want to go, but I did. And it was there that I realized the Christian message is true, and that I couldn't keep on running away from God. And I am so grateful to God that he used Andy to bring me to a point where I accepted Jesus as my Lord. I said that 7 years ago, tears choking me up. Verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Will your feet, will they be beautiful enough to bring tears of joy to the eyes of one of your colleagues? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are totally accessible. Thank you that everyone who calls on your name will be saved. Jesus, thank you too that you are totally relevant to everyone, that everyone needs to trust in you. And so we pray that you would help our colleagues and our friends and our families to see this. And Jesus, we pray that you would help us to be people with beautiful feet. We pray that you would help us in bringing the good news about you to those that we know. Amen.